Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff and my special guest today has been a journalist and a presenter for many, many years. We won't ask her how long because it's rude to ask a woman her age. So in that case, Eva, what are you weigh? I'm kidding. That's a joke.
I'd rather answer the other question. It's
clearly a joke. But it's Eva Milik. How are you going, Eva?
So fantastic. Thank you so much for having me, Goff.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, as I said in my very poor intro, you are a journalist and a presenter. Where did the interest come from? Why choose that as a career path?
Well, I've actually been with Channel 9 for 17 years now to actually answer that question. But my interest was sparked as a very young girl. So I am a first generation Australian. I'm actually of Croatian heritage. The last name Milik probably gives you an example, a clear indication of that. Anyway, so I grew up with my mum and my grandparents and my sister all in the one house. Anyway, my grandfather was an absolute news hound. He was an old Croatian guy, or still he's a very old Croatian guy these days, but had that real appetite for news. So whether my sister and I liked it or not, in the afternoon, starting from 5 o'clock, we were watching news. So if you wanted to watch TV, you're watching the news. Anyway, so we would watch, you know, Channel 10 first at 5, then, of course, Channel 9 at 6 o'clock. And then in the evenings, we'd switch over to SBS and watch Mary Costakidis. She was the one that really did it for me, knowing that she had come from a Greek background. I just thought she was so polished, so graceful, just such an absolute pro. And I really enjoyed watching her for years. And that is the woman that that really made me think perhaps that's something that I could do in my future.
Well, that's really cool. That's very cool indeed. And so, like you say, you've been doing it 17 years. You've obviously covered a great many stories. Is there one or two little highlights or one or two little career moments that stand out for you, something that, you know, just kind of blew your mind?
Oh, definitely. But I think being a Gold Coaster, one of the most proudest moments I've had as a journo was when I travelled to St. Kitts in the Caribbean, which sounds very fancy, but it was actually for our pitch, for the Gold Coast Cities pitch for the Commonwealth Games. Mm-hmm. And that was just extraordinary to see all the effort, all the background work that went into that pitch, all the schmoozing, the presentations. We had Jessica Mowboy up there. It was just, you know, so much was happening. We were competing against other countries, and then to be in that room when the Gold Coast was announced winner of the Comm Games, I think that is an absolute highlight. The mood was just electric. And of course, with the time differences, we were crossing into the 6 o'clock bulletin when it was like 4 o'clock in the morning in St. Kitts, but we were just high on energy. It was truly extraordinary. Another fun story, because I like to look at the more positive things, of course, is one of my first few years on the job. They actually sent me out on a whale watching boat, and we came across Migaloo right then and there, and he was just extraordinary. And
so for those overseas, obviously Migaloo being an albino, very famous albino whale.
Yeah, so he usually visits our waters off the east coast of Australia during the whale migration season, and you know, he is quite elusive, so it is a real treat to see him. And he was this just iridescent white in the water. It was magical. We were with so many people that were absolutely passionate about seeing him. They'd been on the hunt. And of course, that was something else super exciting because, again, the vibe, the elation of everyone on board was just extraordinary. So that was super fun as well.
That's cool. Very cool. Now, going back to your first answer of that question, when you said, you know, all the schmoozing and things that happened behind the scenes with the bid and everything, did that kind of... is that something that sort of shocked you as a journalist? You were like, wow, I'm not suggesting anything was crooked or underhanded. I'm just meaning like how it all, the whole process and how it all transpired. Was that a real sort of eye-opening experience for you?
It was an eye-opener, but... you know, I guess it was to be expected. You know, there were lots of dinners. We were trying to show the very best that the Gold Coast and Australia has to offer. So we were there with Anna Bly, and everything was put on the line. It was a show. Anna was on 100% of the time. It was extraordinary to see, but it was expected, I guess, but still wonderful to experience.
Cool, cool. Now, going to a bit of a different subject of social media, because that's obviously very big now in the news for many different reasons. Now, do you believe that social media should be something that is used as a news source?
Well, I think it should work in conjunction with more traditional news sources. I think these days, you know, there is that real appetite for immediacy. People are no longer waiting until, you know, 6 o'clock in the evening or 5:30 in the evening for Channel 9 Gold Coast News to, to come on to get their news hit. They're not waiting for the morning papers. They're getting it all throughout the day. And so I think that if they're working in conjunction, say, for instance, if you are on your Facebook or Twitter, Snapchat, whatever, and you're getting a hit of a breaking news story that might sort of pique your interest, and then you go to more traditional sources to get
verification,
you know, your verification, just more content, I think that's the way to go. And obviously that's been a huge huge influence in the way that the more mainstream medias have been running their businesses over the years, that focus, that push to our online sites. And then in turn, those online sites are pushing to the evening bulletins in order to get further breakdowns, a more traditional, a non-biased, balanced breakdown of whatever the big stories are of the day.
Because we have seen mistakes. Obviously, one that springs to my mind is when Richard Wilkins announced the death of Jeff Goldblum, because that was rumouring on Twitter, I think it was.
Yes.
Obviously, that's a few years ago now, but obviously there's been other things. So I mean, would you suggest to any young people who are coming up through university and that maybe social media might have its place, but perhaps maybe do your due diligence as well?
Absolutely. It is a balancing act. You've got to check. People want it quickly, but you've got to check your sources. Otherwise, you will be completely red-faced, as poor old Richard was in that circumstance. But I think once bitten, twice shy. Yes. I don't think he'd be doing that again. And I'm sure that he had a chat with Jeff after that, and it was all good in the hood. Yeah, it was not a great moment.
Well, he does have a good sense of humour from interviews I've seen, Jeff Goldblum, so I'm sure he took it with
yes, the... and I mean, the whole world thought he had passed away, yes. So we were all falling victim to it.
Now let's say your boss says to you, all right, Eva, I need you to go out and cover whatever story it is, and you go out there and it is the world's most boring story. There is like nothing, but you've got to pull something together because that's your job. Yes. So what do you do?
Well, if it is a real fizzer, we will ring the newsroom and have a chat. We will drop a story if it's just not going anywhere. You know, anyone can send out a media release and get people to come out and cover their story. It really is up to the discretion of the journalist and the cameraman. We work as a team to suss out what on earth is going on with these stories. And if it is a fizzer, no, we will just say no. But having said that, if it is workable, but the people haven't quite come up with a way that is appealing, I mean, we are very experienced in what we do. So generally, the cameraman and whichever journo, myself, will work out ways to sort of extract the best angle or the quirkiest shot. We dig deep. So otherwise, we'll send people to sleep in the evening bulletin.
So on the flip side, then, you get sent out to a story and it's like there's action left, right and centre. Like it's just popping. How do you, A, sort of keep your wits about you so that you don't get swept up in the motion and the moment? And also, like, how do you stay professional and knowing that part is the part I need to cover and I need to ignore that part that's going on over there? Like, how do you do on the flip side if it's just a massive story that's going everywhere?
Well, I actually think that the bigger stories, that breaking news and when it's all happening, I actually think they're the ones that are easier to cover because the storyline, the essence of what is going on is really quite apparent. And in those instances, it's just really important that you have fantastic communication with your cameraman, that you're not missing anything important because we're a pictures-based news service. So their work is absolutely crucial. We write to the pictures that we get. So we need to be working together in order to not miss anything, get the best shots, get the best angle for that story.
And what about you? So you've got things going off left, right and centre. You need to obviously keep yourself focused on what you need to do to report the story and not get yourself sidetracked. How do you personally do that?
Well, you're right. It is a lot of focus. I remember when I started, live crosses, in fact, weren't... Yeah, I mean, they were a rarity. I'd been working at Channel 9 for 2 years before I did my first live cross. But say, for instance, the news has always been itself, the news readers and weather, etc., they're always live. But you know, as far as reporters went back, you know, 17, 18 years ago, the more experienced reporters were possibly only going live maybe once a month or once every 6 weeks. Now, if you are on a big story, as I said, that appetite for immediacy, you are doing rolling coverage, you're breaking into programming, you're going from Today Show right through until late news. And for that to happen, it is more of a team effort, whereas previously you just craft your story and spend your day crafting whatever that story was and making sure it's perfect for that 6 o'clock bulletin. Now, if you're on those big stories, you have a team of producers, you know, back at the newsroom at Mount Coot or back at the office in Surfers Paradise, and everyone is pulling together this work. We've got editors, producers, you on the road, your cameraman, you know, the news directors are having an input throughout the day. So have you
got someone in your ear saying, Eva, we need you to just focus more on A instead of B, and Eva, we need you to straighten up on this and all that sort of, like they're sort of feeding you your directions?
If you're doing rolling coverage, most definitely. And, you know, during various cyclones and floods, I've been manning the show when I was working for our statewide news in the Brisbane newsroom. And so basically for that to happen, you will get maybe possibly a couple of notes in the ad break about who you might be throwing to or what sort of situation is coming up next. You'll also have someone speak to you via an IFB, which for those that don't know is your earpiece. And so you might be chatting with someone and then they'll be speaking with you, the producer will be speaking with you in your ear saying, okay, just one more question to this person. Now we're going to the mayor of this town to find out what's going on there. So you absolutely need to think on your feet. You need to focus. You need to listen to what people are saying to you. You need to listen to their responses so that things flow and you're not missing things. So it's really, really crucial that you are 100% on in those moments.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, advertising, obviously, money makes the world go around. Networks, whether they be TV or other, require revenue, advertising and all sorts of stuff. But do you think that maybe corporate interests can create bias when it comes to news media? And do you think that's true, false? Can it be negated? What do you want to chat about?
Look, I think with, you know, the more traditional sort of networks, I don't really see a lot of that because we are so focused on you know, having that balanced kind of story. In fact, I think, you know, if there is sponsorship from, a various group, then we sort of err away from.
Well, that's kind of my point. So let's say, for example, everything will be fictional. Let's say, you know, a pet food company it spends a lot of advertising dollars, right? But there's been a report that their pet food is poisonous.
Yes.
Right? Completely fictional, obviously. Yeah. Now, would a network say, oh, listen, let's try and avoid that because they spend so many advertising dollars with us? Like, that's sort of what I'm getting at. Do you think that...
Covering the story and it's up to not necessarily the newsroom but other areas of the organisation. So our advertising people, our various levels of management to deal with that. But the newsroom is covering the story if it's a good story.
And do you think that's something that needs to be, like, make sure it's policed going forward to make sure that corporate interests don't wriggle their way into news? You know what I'm...
I think so, but, I mean, look what goes on in America with Fox News and, you know, where they're going to stand, you know, in 2021 after, you know, after Joe Biden is inaugurated and the end of Trump. We'll just see what happens there. But I don't know. It's a balancing act. It's not my strong suit. It's not my forte. I'm more on the ground.
I understand. You're not in the office making the decisions. I get that. No. But I was just meaning I was kind of sort of getting at sort of places like Fox News that are very heavily influenced by sort of corporate sort of things. If you think
it does happen. I don't see it in my workplace.
Yeah.
So.
And you think it's, would you be of the viewpoint that it's probably a bad thing or a
absolutely, a good thing, absolutely. But then I guess those people, if we go to Fox News in America, those Trump supporters, for instance, they would choose then to watch Fox News because they like the coverage that he's receiving. Everyone else who is a Democratic supporter would probably get their news sources from elsewhere or simply watch Fox to have an opinion or to, you know, yell at the TV a little bit. What sort of coverage they're doing. So it's up to the consumer on if they're not aligned with whatever, you know, is being perpetuated via a news organisation, it's up to the consumer of the news to turn it off, switch off their TV screen, jump onto another website. We run what we consume.
Yeah, fair, cool. Absolutely. So now before we wrap it up, Eva, on behalf of everybody on the planet, I have to ask, why the puns? Why must we...
They love it.
Who does? Who loves it? Can we have a moratorium on puns?
Look, I even like a clever pun. I must admit, I think they do sneak in a little too often, but sometimes they really do make a story. It's all about creating something that's a bit memorable, can give people a bit of a laugh. You'll probably see the puns more prevalent in those lighter stories, and it is good. It's about leaving people, you know, the news by nature deals with a lot of depressing sort of stuff. So those puns are just trying to keep it light and give people a good giggle. And if they want to giggle at us, that's fine too. We don't mind. So.
Fair enough. Well, all right, okay. I think a moratorium on puns, just 6 months. Let's just have 6 months.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. That's quite okay. So let's, if people want to learn more about Eva Milik, where can they go, Eva? If the people want to know more about you. Where can they see you?
Well, you can see me on the 5:30 Channel 9 Gold Coast News. So we're a half-hour bulletin. I only work Monday to Thursday, though, because who wants to work on Fridays? And that's it from me. I stick to my lane. I love what I do. I have a lot of fun doing it. And, yeah, that's where you can see me.
Very cool. Well, hopefully everybody does check you out, obviously, and on the news, doing your thing. And thank you so much for coming in today. I really do appreciate your time, Eva.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. You're a whole lot of fun.
Well, thanks. Spread the word.
I don't have a pun to end on, though. I'm so sorry.
You've let yourself down.
I know.
And your whole profession.
Needed to come up with some new material.
I know, right?
Sorry.
should have been armed with pages and pages of notes. Yes. So anyway, thank you so much for listening to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, obviously. Thank you again to Eva. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast, if that is your wish, on whatever app you might be listening to. And of course, leave a friendly comment, because that's always nice to do that. And of course, beernutsproductions.com, that's beernutsproductions.com, is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. Until next time, we'll chat to you then.